This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, Cheryl.
Hey, Tig.
We're doing our intro here, but we agreed we're going to do a fast one.
We're doing a fast one. We have a lot to say about a lot of things in this.
This is a
four-part
series, and I catch people up on my personal life.
Yes, so get ready. You're in for a little bit of a roller coaster. Everybody, welcome. Oh, ladies and jerks. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Bad Vegan.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl Hines.
Tig Notaro. I got it right.
No,
I got it right.
No.
Tig.
How do you...
Notaro. Tig Notaro.
But you hear people... You hear people say my name.
However it gets my earballs, I really think I'm saying it right. You're saying I'm not saying it right. Tig...
Notaro.
Oh, Notaro.
So anytime you start to think you're saying my last name, tell yourself no.
That's not it. Believe me, whenever I say your last name halfway through, I panic and I just decide, yeah. I know I'm saying it wrong, but I'm going to lean
abort
into
abort mission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. are you? How are you, sweet Tig?
Well, I was just saying before the show, I've been on quite the roller coaster. My stepfather passed away.
I'm so sorry, Rick. And dear Rick.
Yes, Rick passed away. And it was unexpected. And it's just been really intense, you know? It's like he raised me since I was two.
Wow.
And so there's just a lot. I mean, I lost my father after my mother, like a few years after my mother. And then now losing Rick, it's just like that feeling of that's my final parent.
Yeah.
Also, he loved Max and Finn.
I know.
So desperately.
I know.
Desperately. And it just, he really started to come out of his shell and his ways of the world after my mother died and after I got sick. And he just like,
stepped
just
in.
Loved them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like anybody that watched One Mississippi, his character on my TV show just stole he was... As far as I was concerned, my stepfather was the star of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so just incredible to watch John Rothman's performance of a guy that's so stuck inside of himself and slowly coming out after so much trauma. And I just feel so lucky to have that show.
And then to have him know the boys and, you know, be well, a part yeah. of their lives. I mean, and that was so amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It was so incredible. And I think that's what keeps just knocking me down every day.
Is yeah.
him not being around. And they called him Cowboy Rick because he lived in Texas. And it just, and the crazy part of it too was like he was in Austin with my aunt and uncle having dinner when I was performing in Austin. And he choked on some food that went into his lung that caused pneumonia.
Gosh.
And then they gave him antibiotics for his pneumonia and he couldn't shake it. And then he developed C. diff, which Jeez. Is the disease I had. And that's what killed him.
Oh my God.
And every year around my birthday is when I start going through all these different, you know, horrible anniversaries of here comes my birthday. This is when I got this phone call. Mm. This is when this happened. And then it was happening again this year. And then in the craziness of life, it started to get on the same track where I was like, wait a minute, Rick, I got the call. Rick's not going to make it. Wait, what do you mean? He's not going to make it. He's on life support. You need to come now.
Oh my gosh.
And then I go out there and then it's like, yeah. And then I took him off life support 10 years to the day that I took my mother off life support.
That is so difficult. I can't imagine because I've been in a similar situation mm-hmm. and it's very surreal. It's hard to believe it's happening. It's hard to know how to respond to it. It's hard to know how to feel yeah. about it. Yeah. And then so this is what, 2 weeks later and it's like hitting
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, it's been hitting me, yeah. but it's like it hits me. I mean, I took my kids to the dentist and even when, you know, they had a cavity and I'm asking all these questions and the dentist said, listen, these kids are my kids as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't do anything to anyone's kids that I wouldn't do to my own. And I'm like crying in the dentist's office. I was like thinking of somebody's dad, you know,
right?
And just like, oh my God, I'm a loose cannon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's hard.
It's hard, God, it's you know, hard. And, you know, we've had episodes come out, but they're all pre-recorded so far in advance. And I wasn't going through. I mean, I don't remember if Rick had developed pneumonia or not, but, you know, it's still I'm on the road. I'm trying to live my life. I'm trying to do shows. I'm trying to visit Rick. I'm trying to, you know, do what I can. But yeah, life just happens when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. You don't have any control over it. There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Well, no. Listen, I mean, I think it's nice to be open with our listeners because our mm-hmm. little snark bowls care. I mean, they've shown us that they care about us. And I know that they appreciate this. And so I know you were saying before we started that you're not feeling 100% you.
No, I'm not. And I'm doing stand up again. And it's actually been like the moment, like, God, I went on stage for the first time in Denver.
Yeah.
And then the following night in Salt Lake City, I have to say it was like, that hour and 20 minutes I was on stage, just healing moments.
That's so nice.
And then sadly,
and then,
I'm
then
like
back
to
work. I know.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh God, a truck just parked on my chest.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing about grief. It's like, it is really helpful when you can, because of course you have to process all of those feelings, but you also, it's so nice when you can find a tiny break from it. If you can think about one thing for, like you're saying, an hour and a half where, you know, you don't, you have to think about something else for a little while. It's good for your brain, I think.
Yeah, I'll notice myself being caught, like when I'm making lunch for Max and Finn or something, and I'm like, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I wasn't thinking about Rick, or I wasn't thinking about, you know, that any
day or like, that time, right?
Yeah, and I have to say that the thing that was so different, my mother was not conscious. Rick was, and he, even though he was on life support, he was nodding yes and he was shaking his head no to questions, and that was
hard.
It was just, it was hard.
My father was the same way, actually. Yeah. So it's hard.
It's hard. It's really hard. And so I, yeah. Anyway, I know this is a comedy podcast, but I do also want to say I am so thankful for the Snark Bowls,
yeah.
For the people that come out to the shows.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Houston next week, and that's where, you know, I just was, with Cowboy Rick, and and I'm going back, and it's gonna be bittersweet.
Yeah,
because he would have been at my show.
Oh.
And I'm gonna be staying at his house, going through his stuff, and it's just a whole thing.
Yeah.
Going on right now. And so I'm thankful for my good friends, Mr. Thomas and Cheryl and the Snark Bowls and my family and the people that come out to the shows. I do feel it. I just am going through. I'm not myself.
That's okay.
For sure.
That's okay.
I'm not myself.
We'll take you any way we can get you.
Well, it's humdrum me.
Okay, well then I'm really going to bring it.
Ramp it up.
I'm going to ramp it up. Please. It's going
to
be
somebody's going to need to, because nobody could ever previously rely on me to bring the ramp up.
And today especially not.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If Thomas has to chime in, Thomas has to chime in. That's all there is to it. But we are talking about something. We're talking about something that I can't wait to hear your thoughts about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. So today we're talking about bad vegan. Mm-hmm. It's Bad Vegan, Fame, Fraud, Fugitives. It's a 4-part docuseries directed by Chris Smith, whose previous credits include Fire, The Greatest Party That Never Happened. We did that one. Mm-hmm. Bad Vegan tells the story of vegan restaurateur Sarma Mengalis,
sure.
Who once owned the trendiest vegan hotspots in New York City. The series debuted on March 16th, 2022, and is available to watch on Netflix. This is like hot off the press.
It is. It's hot off the press.
When I heard it was called Bad Vegan, mm-hmm. You know what I thought? I thought this would be about, please, it's not, it doesn't make sense. But I thought maybe mm-hmm. there was somebody out there pretending to be a vegan, but like secretly putting meat or dairy products into their food.
That would
be a bad.
That would be a bad carnivore. Oh, you're saying it was a vegan person doing that?
Yeah.
Because like, a vegan would person
they?
Wouldn't do
right.
that.
Right, no,
because
you're right. It would be a carnivore.
There's a whole philosophy behind being
right.
vegan, so you wouldn't even
you wouldn't,
do that.
No, it would be a bad, yeah. you're right, it would be a bad carnivore pretending
yeah.
in pretending to
yeah.
be a vegan.
What a weird life to pretend and do that.
Well, that's not what this documentary is actually.
No, no. I don't even know what I thought it was. I actually didn't really like the title.
No.
Because I think I took it personally
yeah.
as a vegan.
Right.
I was like, let's not.
Let's not put the vegans down. I know it
yeah,
does.
Not...
It did sound like, oh, the vegans have done something bad and there's a bad part.
They're terrible people.
Yeah,
we caught you. You're and.
And yeah.
I guess you can be whatever you're ingesting, you can be a bad person.
Yes.
Whether it's only fruits, vegetables, nuts,
right.
seeds, grains.
You know what it is? I think that vegans have mm-hmm. a reputation of being like, mm-hmm. oh, we watch what we eat. We're doing the right thing.
Well, first of all, I can't speak for every vegan, but I don't speak with that tone.
I know
that's
vegans.
You.
I know vegans that speak.
That's me saying, hey, I'm plant-based, and then
hey,
it goes in your ear.
I'm plant-based. I'm not going to eat
I'm
that
better
french
than
fry
you.
And beef
well,
oil.
Well, I eat french fries.
But can you eat a french fry from McDonald's?
No. And nor would I.
Oh, that's the, see, that's why vegans get that sort of label. Nor would I. It's like, no, I wouldn't, and nor would I.
Yeah, but so, I think carnivores are even worse because they're like, ugh.
Vegans. Ugh.
Yeah. Like, ugh.
Yeah. That would be my mom. That would be Cracklin' Rosie. If you said, let's go to even a vegetarian. Would this a vegetarian? Ugh. Well, there's nothing I can eat there.
Right. Everything is so, my aunt, if I have her try anything, this is my aunt in Austin,
yeah,
or in Houston. Anytime a fork is headed her way or a spoon with anything vegan, and I'm just like, just taste it. Just taste it. She makes this face.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, ew, it's
going
to.
The whole time.
It's going to be
fork
sour.
Or spoon is. She's like, ugh. And then even if it's undeniably delicious, she's like, ugh. So it's on both sides.
Yes, it's on both sides. If you tell my mom something's organic, mm-hmm. she's like, no, thank you. It's like, okay, mom. She goes, wait. I just don't like organic things. I don't. It's like, well, how is that? Because she likes pesticides. I don't know. I don't know if she understands what organic means, but it's like.
Clearly.
Whatever that is, she doesn't want any.
That's like saying, I don't want clean air. I want to only breathe through the exhaust pipe on this 18-wheeler.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so this is about this woman named Sarma, right? She studied economics and went to Wharton Business School. So that tells us she's smart and educated.
I've never heard of Wharton, but I'll have to. If anyone goes to any school.
Yes.
I'm impressed. If they graduate, I'm like,
if they graduate from incredible. Even high school, you're happy.
Or even pass a class.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how you do
well,
it.
Well, Sarma, she studied economics and then she was hired at Bear Stearns, but her passion was food. So she wasn't that interested in the stock markets and whatnot. So she quit her job and went to culinary school. Okay. And then there was this guy named Matthew Kenny, and he was a star chef in New York City, and Sarma interviewed him about a cookbook he was writing, and they fell in love and became a couple. And by the way, these two people are very attractive.
Well, I was going to say, when they mentioned her pursuit in interviewing him,
yeah,
I was like, oh, you were okay, like, wait a minute.
Yeah. He only
is this solely... Is this solely for information, or are you maybe noticing his bone structure?
Yeah, and, he's like this tall, dark, handsome guy.
I mean, if you're into that thing, you know, he's like
perfectly good-looking.
Yeah,
vegan.
Yeah,
and she's a beautiful blonde.
Easy.
Vegan. She's very pretty. Who does she look like?
We don't need to like draw comparisons.
Okay, no, but just
watch
I'm trying
the documentary.
To they won't. Our listeners won't. Although this is a fun one to watch. There are a lot of twists and turns. I mean, we have a lot to get to. Okay.
Yeah.
So Sarma and Matthew, they work for a guy named Jeffrey Chodoroy. No, Chodoro. Chodoro.
I forgot about this part of our show.
Let's say Chodoro. He was a renowned restaurateur, and they went to him and
I liked him so much.
I know. They said they wanted to open a restaurant, pure food and wine, and
which I went to.
You did? In New York?
Yes.
Oh, my.
And Stephanie and I got gift cards for people from there.
Because you loved it.
It was delicious.
I mean, it looks pretty amazing. It looked like it was, because the whole idea, was it raw? Was it all raw? Mm-hmm. So it was raw, vegan, but not, okay, I'm not even going to say that because that's dumb and I know the answer. Okay, I'll say it. I mean, not all vegan.
Do I need to be here for this conversation?
Not all vegan food is raw. No, that's not true.
No.
Okay. Asked and answered. Okay.
That really didn't need to happen. You were right.
Oh, no.
We have to take a break. We'll be back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we're back.
Okay. So they opened it. So everything's going great. These two beautiful people open this beautiful restaurant. Everybody's having a good time. It's a very popular. Tig and Stephanie are going in there.
We're the biggest celebrities.
Alec Baldwin starts going. Poor Alec Baldwin. I kind of feel sorry for him for being in the middle of this documentary. Did you feel that way? That's only me.
I mean,
he's not really in it. He's not really in it.
I have complicated feelings around Alec Baldwin.
I know. I hear you. I like Alec. He's a good friend of mine. It's hard. We don't need to We don't need to sideline.
What's hard?
No, because I understand complicated feelings about him. I understand that. But we don't listen. This is about bad vegan. Let's stay on bad vegan. So okay. Matthew had a bad reputation for failing to pay his debts. So Sarma used to wear I Love Matthew sneakers. Oh, this is just. And then they broke up, and then Jeffrey had to decide if he was going to err on the side of Sarma or on the side of Matthew.
But back to Alec, why does he have to be so on social media after such tragedy?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It's a fair question. It's
weird behavior.
It's a fair question. Behavior. So this guy, Jeffrey, decided to help Sarma take on the $2 million of debt that they had in this restaurant, and she opened the restaurant outright.
Okay. Right.
Do we need to circle back to Alec Baldwin? So Alec, in this documentary, for some reason, Sarma, I mean, this was like, I felt like this was the first Sarma red flag for me.
Okay.
When she was like, Alec used to come into the restaurant and flirt with me. And I thought, oh, maybe it's going to be me and Alec together. And then he met Hilaria. And then I realized, oh, shoot, I'm not going to be with Alec. Was that weird to you?
I have complicated feelings around Alec Baldwin.
Anyway, so then Sarma met this guy. Okay, this is when things start. Okay, you ready? She met this guy named Shane Fox.
Yeah.
This is also weird. Okay, I'm going to quit saying Alec. But in this documentary, she says it was through Alec. It was weird because this guy, Shane, I guess, followed Alec online, like on Twitter. Uh-huh. So then Sarma thought that he was Alec's friend, which is weird because it's like, I don't know, just because you follow someone online doesn't really mean that you're...
Well, no, they were talking directly with each other and joking around.
Well, right. But sometimes don't you like respond to one of your followers like, oh, hey, that was funny.
I don't really respond. No. I mean, every now and then, like if you say something, I'll just...
You'll say, ha ha, smiley face.
No,
unicorn.
I never write ha ha. Oh. No.
Okay. So anyway, Shane, so she gets together, she meets Shane online and fell in love with him. And he said that he felt like they've been together for 1,000 years.
That would be an elderly couple.
And she says that she was pretty into that sort of idea. Like, yeah, I get it. I'm all about it. I understand. Like, this night might not be the only plane we're living on or in the world or in the universe.
Do you think you could fall for someone without meeting them in person?
Well, not after all the documentaries we've seen. Oh my God. I mean, what are people thinking? Isn't it sort of,
it feels like if you're starting to feel feelings for someone you've never met, just assume
that they're
going to
a troll
rob you.
Yes.
Yeah. They're unattractive and they're going to rob you.
Especially when they say, hey, send me money.
Yeah.
Like that's beyond a red flag.
That's not love.
That's a hurricane flag. Like, no, uh-uh. No, no, do not send anybody money. Anyway, so she fell in love with Shane. She finally meets him, and she thought he was a little heavier than she thought he'd be, which also was weird. It's like, what's happening? What are we watching? And then Shane implied that he was involved with the CIA and that he had a driver and an assistant, and he wore Rolexes.
There is a lot of similarities to the Tinder swindler.
Yes. And why did he have an envelope of loose diamonds?
Do you not?
Sharma, why would Sharma not go, that's a weird thing for...
But where did that come from?
The loose diamonds?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just part of the documentary.
I know, but when I was watching that, I was like, where do loose diamonds come from?
I know.
Like, where do you...
Because she said that they stopped at an apartment, he ran inside and came back with loose diamonds.
Right.
Wouldn't that be like, wait, let's just stop it down for 1 second. Why do you have loose diamonds?
Yeah,
what are you going to do with them?
And it seems like you would tell the person you're with, like, oh, I have these loose diamonds because. Because it doesn't feel CIA.
No, it doesn't. Like, what?
That's where... If you're with this,
why would the CIA guy run into a building, come back, and then you go home with the loose diamonds?
Yeah,
you just be like, "Hey, you want to go to Burger King?"
I would be like, "Wait, why do you have loose diamonds?" I don't. No. Stop telling me about your CIA job.
Let's just
focus on cork it, cork it. Why do you have loose diamonds? That's a whole different
never explained
part
it.
Of your life.
Never explained it. So Shane asked Sharma. Oh, I think I called her Sharma at one point. Shane asked Sharma. Oh, because
nothing
if you
matters.
No, because if you combine them, it's Sharma.
Shmarma.
Shmarma.
That's like the big Hollywood couple version of them.
Yes.
Shmarma.
And so Sharma had a reputation for being very generous. I mean, she befriended this homeless man named Anthony. This was
who,
also
by the way.
I have
so many questions.
I have a lot of questions.
Did he
Anthony.
Become not homeless at a certain point? Because some footage he's on the streets, other times he's in a nice leather jacket
I
with some jewelry and he
it.
Hopped in his car to go get her at some point.
Yeah, I had a hard time understanding. And then, like, you know, episode two, I was like, wait a second, maybe I misunderstood who Anthony is. Maybe he's not home.
Wait. Wait, Anthony?
I think there are two Anthonys in this. Mm. So what happens is the homeless man is Anthony, who
doesn't seem homeless.
I don't understand why that guy is even in this documentary. Honestly, I
think because he's a character.
There are a lot of characters. It is fun to watch.
Yeah, every time it gets to him, it's like, oh, good. I was like, I can't wait to hear what this guy says.
I can't wait to hear what Anthony says. So Sarma's employees, they're starting to get suspicious about Shane. And then they find out that his real name is Anthony Stranges. And he has a criminal past.
Which is Stranges.
Once again, one of those names.
And do you get the feeling that Sharma felt like he was weird?
Well, that's what's odd about this whole story. It is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, I mean, Anthony, a.k.a. Shane. We'll just call him Shane. And then we'll call the homeless guy Anthony, because that's his.
Tony. We should call him Tony.
Hey, Tony. Shane had Sarma convinced, because she has this pit bull that she loves more than anything. And he had her convinced that he is otherworldly, that he has sort of magical powers, and that he could make her dog immortal.
Okay. But okay. I heard a lot about this. You know, obviously I watched the documentary, and then when people would mention the documentary, they're like, oh, this guy basically robs her, tells her the dog's going to live forever. I didn't really get the huge vibe around that, that was
the only reason.
Or that was really that big of a piece of this. To me, it seemed like just a weird aside. It just seemed like yet another crazy thing he said. Of like, why is there so much weight in him saying the dog's going to live forever? Also, what about making her live forever? So what, she's going to die and then the dog's going to live a million years?
I mean,
that seems like animal abuse. Because it's like, who do we know is going to for sure, you know, care for this animal? Why isn't he making sure the dog and the lady are living forever together?
Did you just say, why ain't he?
No, I said, why aren't, or something like that. I told you, I'm not myself. I'm not in a good place.
Her. Well, because here's the thing about swindlers.
Yeah.
Right? They tune in to see what people, they find a vulnerable, hello?
Go on.
Hello?
Oh, you're making fun of me for saying aren't.
They find a vulnerable person, and then they figure out what's important to that person.
I understand how that works, but I'm just saying if they were like, look, I can make all three of your cats live forever, I would be like, well, that's great,
but what about
I'd
me?
Like to be around for that.
Yeah.
And that never came up. It's just like, I'm just going to die in 20 years and my cats are going to
It wasn't a thought out plan.
No.
No, and when you talk.
Nor was it true.
You never
even if you had a great plan in place, it's not going to happen. This bozo isn't going to like make a dog live forever.
So Shane used to call Sarma TBH, tiny blonde human, which, you know, suggested that he's immortal.
Because he's calling her human.
Right.
As though he's not.
Right. And then remember the Me Too
movement?
Do you remember in this documentary when they talk about the meat suit?
Oh, meat suit.
What did you?
I thought you said me too. The meat suit movement.
I was like, I didn't know it was a movement, but okay.
Oh, yeah. The meat suit.
The meat suit.
Is that him getting heavy?
Well, I think it was a combination of him getting heavy and telling her, oh, don't worry. It's only my meat suit. Because he's not really human. This is just the meat suit he wears.
Oh, okay.
You remember that part?
I do.
Oh,
we have to take a break.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll be back to discuss all things meat suits.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we're back.
So, I mean, this did remind me of Tinder Swindler because Shane would always be traveling and he would text her and say, you need to wire me $65,000 or they're going to kill me. And then 4 days later, he would text her and say, you need to wire me $35,000.
And so this is all restaurant money.
Yeah. So she's working and the restaurant is doing well. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Thanks to me and Stephanie.
Thanks to you and Stephanie and all the gift cards that you bought.
Mm-hmm. That somehow did help get him to these places he was going. My little gift card.
Ew.
Stephanie's little gift card.
Way to be a part of it.
Yeah, we
aided. You helped Shane get a fancy should we tell them what he was really doing?
What?
This is a bean spill.
Okay.
Listen, we've already spilled some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know all sort of the twists and turns, then stop it down, Aiden. Mm-hmm. Turn it off.
And Brandy.
And Brandy. Turn off your vacuums and pause it. But we found out later that he was gambling all of this money away. And he just went to all of these casinos and just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in mm-hmm. one casino over $1 million. Mm-hmm. And he loved the lifestyle, and they sent the planes. Oh, this like Donut King.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Donut King? And he became a gambler.
I do.
And, God. Then what about Nazim? Remember Nazim? Uh-huh. So Nazim comes into the picture.
Yeah.
So Nazim is Shane's assistant. And meanwhile, during all of this,
mm-hmm.
Sarma is emailing with this tech
guy, Will.
Advisor, yeah, Will, mm-hmm. who was advising her about her money. What is his role?
Seems like a lot of, and then personal issues would come up.
I was like, I was watching him and I'm like, who is Will? Like, is he a banker? But why would the banker be saying, oh, you got to trust your husband? He knows what he's doing.
I honestly, embarrassingly fell for that.
I did too, because you're watching the documentary and you see Will, who's typing away, and you're like, oh my God, Will, how does he know? How does Will know so much about Shane?
I can't believe you and I are both stupid.
They fooled us.
Yeah, we're stupid
people.
No,
because we were watching it with our own eyeballs. You're watching it and you're like, okay.
Mr. Thomas fell for it too.
He fell for it too.
All three of us are stupid people? That is fascinating.
No, I'm not going to say that about ourselves. That's not true, because it's like the documentarians, they got us.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was good filmmaking there.
So Nazim, the mm-hmm. assistant, that yep. was a weird character, no?
For sure. And also, if the other guy, Shane, is broke and needs money all the time, how is he keeping someone on a
payroll?
A payroll consistently.
I mean, Nazim was, he was really shady. Because he would go on these gambling trips with Shane.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Okay, so do you think he wasn't on payroll? Am I taking things too?
I don't know if he was getting a paycheck. Okay. But then Sarma would be like, I don't know what to do, Nazim. It's really stressful. It's been like $1.7 million that I've given him. And he keeps saying, I'm going to get it all back. I'm going to get it all back, and I'm never going to have to worry for the rest of my life.
Where does she think it's going?
To the CIA? Oh, yeah. My friend Debbie is listening to us. We were watching it. She said
hey,
it was
Debbie Hay.
Hey, Debbie Hay. She said it was a test, right? Because Shane would always make it seem like this is some test to see if she was ready for the other world.
Right.
The happily ever after that she always wanted. All she wanted was a happily ever after, and he was going to give it to her only when she was ready and deserved it. And she said, what will my role be there?
Uh-huh.
And he said, the queen. And she was like, okay, yep. I will wire you some more money. And I'm thinking, what is she thinking?
We have so many documentaries where people get, you know, their brain in mush situations like that Nexium stuff. And
yeah.
You watch it and you're like, I would never fall for this.
Right.
I would never blah, blah, blah. And I mean, people get in vulnerable situations that you can never imagine for yourself.
Yeah.
To different degrees. But I still stand by, if somebody was telling me I was going to be the queen of like
another world.
Of another world.
Yeah.
For $1.7 million.
You would be like, no, uh-uh.
I don't even think, like if somebody said for $20.
if you give me $20, you are going to be queen.
I mean, I would pay that. I would pay that to be queen.
You pay 20, but what about 100?
No.
That's
no.
Too far. That's too
much. I work
much.
Too hard for that $100.
No.
For it to go nowhere, which I would know. It's going nowhere.
Yeah, I know. It is easy to say, oh, I would never fall for that. I would never be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, listen, we're not going to talk about my involvement with the pyramid scheme. I'm just saying that some people get involved in
you
things.
You do.
You know, and I understand it. It's like, we're not perfect. And we all want to think that there's something better and we could get there and...
Or you make excuses, you know,
right.
You've been in, everyone, probably most people alive, have been in relationships with people that maybe don't treat them well, and you make excuses, or
yeah.
you hope it's going to be something else or different at
yeah.
a different point, and then you're just like,
yeah, boy.
It's not.
It's not, you guys.
It's not.
You got to pull the plug quicker than Sarma.
At the $20 point of a relationship.
Listen, if somebody said, wire me money, I would be like, no.
No.
Like, I need to know what's happening.
If I asked you to wire me money, you wouldn't wire me money?
I mean, I guess if you did. But see, how do I know it's you?
Well, because I would get on Zoom and be like, hey, I need you to wire me.
If I saw your face, if I saw your eyeballs.
$1.7 million.
So I can go to another universe.
So you can be the queen.
And I'll be like, okay. Okay, so listen. Well, the thing is about, what's his name that I just said? Nazim. So Nazim, when Sarma was like, Nazim, this is getting bad. It's $1.7 million. And Nazim is like, yeah, he borrowed, whatever, $65,000 from me.
Yeah.
And it's like, Nazim. How does Nazim not know he's a scam? He hangs
yeah.
out with them.
And how is Nazim having $65,000?
I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah. And if you work for the CIA, you probably, your assistant probably doesn't have $65,000 cash to just
to
wire.
Gamble.
Yeah.
To wire to the guy that you work for. Weird.
Right. And this is me just crunching numbers casually on a podcast. And
it's very impressive.
I'm a high school dropout.
It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Okay, so now, listen, there are things in this
mm-hmm.
story that make zero sense to me, but okay. So Anthony sends Sarma to Rome.
I would
Rome.
Say 90%. Of this documentary makes
zero
sense. I was truly watching this going, are you kidding me? What is happening?
Yeah.
This guy is demanding millions of dollars from you and yelling at you.
Right.
He was so rude.
I mean,
obviously we're not hearing I don't know how she talked to him, but I was also just like, jeez. It was so depressing to just think of somebody being yelled at like that all the time. And aside from just sending money, but I was like, ugh.
No, it was. And then at one point, he tells her, you're going away. She didn't know where she was going to be going.
Of course.
They go to the airport, and then he says, they walk up to the whatever, the gate, and he says, okay, you're going alone. Mm-hmm. And then she gets on a plane, and she was like, it was kind of exciting. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't know for how long. Which, by the way, that doesn't sound great to me. Here, get on a
no.
plane. Get on a plane. You don't know where you're going. You don't have any money. You don't have clothes. It's just weird.
Yeah. It reminds me of my friend Shannon. It's a very different story, but Shannon drank too much one night with a group of people. And then she was like, oh, I should probably check and see when my flight leaves tomorrow. And she had to leave her house at that moment. She grabbed flip-flops and a boombox.
The necessities.
And was on a plane. She had to drive directly to the airport.
One time, this isn't a good story, but one time when
we'll tell. Everyone gather around.
Well, it's an airplane story, and I drank way too much in Vegas. I was up all night. Drank so much. And I.
What is so much? What is your so much?
Oh, I don't know.
Because for me, it's a drink.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, a 12 hour.
Sure.
You
know, how many drinks? Walk me through. I'm always like, when somebody says I drink a lot.
Well, I would say at least one per hour or something like that. You know what I mean? Listen, I'm not proud of myself. This was in my younger days. So then I.
So we're talking like 12 drinks.
Well, over the span of a long time. But it wouldn't have shocked me.
Did you throw up?
Well, I got on my Southwest plane because I had to fly back to LA that morning. Up all night, I get on the plane. Everybody's like sitting down, buckling in. And I was
Were
like,
you on curb?
No, I wasn't on curb at the time.
Damn.
And we're sitting there and I was like, oh, shitballs. I'm about to throw up. So I run to the bathroom. I throw up everywhere in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh my God, I have got to clean this. I'm trying to clean up the bathroom.
Were you hitting turbulence?
No, we hadn't taken off. And the flight attendant was like, you need to get out of the bathroom. We can't take off without you in your seat. And I was like, no, I can't. I can't come out. It's pretty bad in here. And she's like, you have to sit down.
On the toilet?
No, I had to go sit in my seat so we could take off. And I was like, I really don't, it's not okay.
Possible.
And she was like, get out of the bathroom and sit down. And for some reason, I wasn't wearing shoes too, just to make the story even better.
Well,
and
you were drunk. You were crunk.
I had to do a walk of shame back to my seat with like throw up on my feet, like back to my seat. And everybody knew what was happening because they were all waiting.
Everyone knew you were going to be a star.
And they were like, everybody's waiting for this asshole to get out of the bathroom who's clearly throwing up because she drank all night. Anyway.
They must deal with that all the time.
They must.
From Vegas flights.
Oh, I would hate to be a flight attendant from the Vegas.
They should have flights specifically geared towards hangovers.
Oh, we could get like an IV of fluids and.
And also like a seat with a bucket. And just everyone's throwing up on their flight from out of Vegas.
You know that has to exist somewhere.
No.
Okay, listen. Mean? Listen, Tig, we've got a lot to cover. Okay, so here's where things are getting bad at what's their thing? Pure Food and Drink?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Pure Food and Wine.
Oh, and Wine. So she goes to Rome, and now Shane is peacocking all around Pure Food and Wine.
Full of chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. He's no vegan, this guy.
No, he's peacocking around a raw food establishment full, full of chicken wings.
He was not the picture of health, of fitness. Mm-mm. But so he goes in and tells everybody, I'm going to buy this restaurant.
And Sharma's going to...
Sarma.
Sharma.
No, Sarma.
Sorry, you correct me with the wrong name.
No, that's Sharma. No, Sarma.
It's going to run it.
Okay, so anyway, while she's away, the restaurant is just being run to the ground and the employees are not being paid.
And she's thinking, right, that he paid for her trip to go. And she's essentially paying for her own trip.
Right? I don't even understand.
It's on her own dime.
And
then he was controlling the money anytime she wanted something. Like, she got money from him and it was her money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so at some point, the restaurant closes because mm-hmm. Sarma's nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Nobody's running it. Nobody's being paid. And finally, the workers walk out.
Right.
And now they're, you know, marching around in front of the restaurant. Like, I don't think they said bad vegan.
I felt like I saw it on one of the signs.
Oh, maybe that's.
Maybe I didn't, but I thought I saw that. But also, there's no way to know.
And so she gets back and she's like, oh my God, this is bad. This is really mm-hmm. bad. And now she's talking to Will, the guy, the bank IT guy. Okay, stop it down.
Also, her therapist.
Stop it down if you don't want to hear this. Stop our thing down.
Stop it down.
So she finds out that there was no will.
Yeah, the guy that was reading all of the messages
and emailing her from Will's was Shane.
And he just disappeared. The guy that was in the movie.
Yeah. So there was a guy sitting there reading all of these emails. So you were like, that's Will.
Yeah, that was his job. That was the guy.
And then he just disappears. And you're like, ah, we just got bamboozled.
We just got swindlered.
Swindlered. We just got swindler-tindlered.
We just got Tinder swindler donut.
Donut kinged.
Bad Tinder swindler donut. Vegan.
So at some point... Sarma uh-huh. says, oh, shit, I've got to raise $1 million to reopen this.
And then she does.
And by the way, what about like a Jeffrey, sweet Jeffrey, the investor? So Shane was going to ask Jeffrey mm-hmm. to buy the restaurant for millions of dollars. But he was posing as a different person.
Yeah. The guy that kept missing his flight?
Yeah. Oh, Michael. Michael Calandonia. So he says that he's Michael. He wants to show up. He wants to meet Jeffrey. Jeffrey shows up. He's not there. He said, I missed my flight. Says he wants to meet him again.
He misses his flight.
Then Jeffrey's going to be in Miami. And so Michael says, I'm also going to be in Miami with Sarma. Mm-hmm. So Sarma flies to Miami to meet Jeffrey, and Jeffrey's like, where's Michael? And she said he missed his flight.
Again.
And it's like,
and he was like, you need to buy him a watch.
Yeah, you need to buy him a watch. But now Jeffrey's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And really the turn for me with Sarma, and probably for a lot of people, is when Sarma was telling Jeffrey, yeah, Michael couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. But she knows that Michael is Shane.
Yeah.
Okay. She opens the restaurant. She raises the money. The business falls apart again. Sarma and Anthony then go on the lam. Mm-hmm. And they go to Las...
Where is that saying from?
I don't know. Why is it a lamb?
On the lam. And then they go on the piglet.
And then they go on the piglet for days and days. They go to Las Vegas for months. She's in a deep depression. Now, this is what infuriated me. He gets money from Sarma's mom.
And where's all her cash
from? I don't
know.
How does she
have a lot of money? Did the dad not know? Were they not married?
I don't know. That was unclear. Because don't they have a joint bank account?
Cash?
And it's like, oh, $60,000 gone here. I mean,
she ended up giving $500,000.
That's crazy.
And if she had that kind of cash, why wouldn't Sarma go into her mom if she needed?
I couldn't. That was weird. Then they go to Tennessee, Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge.
I didn't really understand that part of it either.
Dollywood.
By Dollywood. And then she befriends a guy named Dustin at Chipotle. I'm not sure why that was part of the...
Is it Chipotle or Chipotle? I think it's Chipotle.
Chipotle? What was I saying? Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Chipotle. We like to call it for fun. Okay, now the investors.
Uh-huh.
Because she had asked all of these people to be investors. Now they are furious.
Yeah.
And they want to find these two.
Mm-hmm.
There's a warrant out for their arrest. And this was the big news that old crazy pants, Shane. Shane, he ordered pizza and chicken wings.
Yes.
And that's how they
caught him.
Which
and
was humiliating
for her.
Became,
yeah, that's why she became famous for eating Domino's pizza.
It seems pretty clear that she didn't eat the pizza or the chicken. She didn't want anything to do with this guy, seems like.
Yeah.
But
the end.
Well, so anyway, they get arrested. And, all the tabloids go crazy because of the pizza and chicken wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some people were like, pizza, who gives a shit about the pizza and chicken wings? These people were,
right.
Like, the workers weren't paid. You know what I mean? Like, the waiter is like, nobody cares about the chicken wings. We didn't get paid. We worked our asses off and never got paid.
And for sure, the pizza and chicken wings went to Anthony, Shane, Chris.
Okay, so here's what happened. Anthony served about a year of jail time. He got $450,000 from Sarma's mother. $450,000?
Yeah, I said $500,000.
What?
Did you not hear me?
Yeah, I don't listen
That's
to you.
That's what I'm saying is, like, where's all this cash coming from?
Where is all the cash coming from?
Because you can be a wealthy person, but not necessarily have $450,000.
Liquid.
Yeah.
If somebody emailed my mom and said, hey, can you send $450,000? My mom would be like, I don't even know how to email. I don't know what this is about. I have never heard of such a thing.
What kind of cash liquid does Cracky have?
No idea. All cracks. All cracky. Sarma settles out of court and pleads guilty.
If I needed $20, though. I mean, could she?
You
could.
Cracklin could spot you 20. She could spot you 20. Sarma settles out of court and pleads guilty.
Noted.
To multiple charges. And she argued that Anthony manipulated her mind. All right. And then Sarma tried to convince people in prison to eat less meat.
I'm on her side with all that.
All right. I mean, I can't imagine Rikers is a great place for vegans.
Or carnivores. Imagine the cut of meat that you're going to get.
I would be, listen, if any of our listeners have spent time in Rikers, please tell me what you eat. What do they eat there?
Mm-hmm.
Many think Sarma married Anthony for his money. Because he told her he had a lot. He told her he was, what, a billionaire or something?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, red flag. Overall, Anthony and Sarma lost over $6 million of other people's money. That is crazy balls. All right. Well, any questions about what you just heard? I think we got it.
Yeah,
right?
We covered it. Yeah,
we really covered it. I think people listening will not have any idea what we just talked about. Do you think
so?
No.
I don't even know.
You know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember Meat Suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what this documentary should have been called, was
it should have been called Meat Suit.
Yeah. Put the negativity on the meat
people.
Suit. Yeah.
Tig, are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yeah.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not.
No, I didn't cry. Oh, boy.
What would you cry about?
Well, I guess you might feel sorry for Sarma.
Or the workers.
I don't know, but, yeah.
But still, no, I didn't cry.
No, it was frustrating. Wasn't it frustrating?
Yes. Infuriating.
Oh, and by the way, there was one guy that we didn't mention who wrote for Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. He was sweet. With a little curly hair.
Yeah. With the little curly hair.
He had like a, you know what it reminded me of? Remember Kenny G when we did the Kenny G podcast and we found out that he permed it? Was it Kenny that permed it?
I don't know.
Wait, who got a perm? Thomas, what podcast did we do where we found out that somebody got a perm? Oh, no. It was
The painter.
The painter, Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
Yeah, we found out that Bob Ross used to get, and then what would he call it when he got a new perm? Like get it tightened and...
I think tightened. I don't know.
Oh, a springs tightened.
Springs tightened.
Oh, it was Bob Ross. I'm sorry, Kenny G. I'm sure that's your natural curl. Tig, who were you attracted to?
Who would you guess?
Who would I guess? Sarma?
Yeah.
It's hard to be attracted to her because she is a bad vegan. But she is attractive. But I liked Sarma's first husband.
I know you did. You spilled those beans right out of the gate. It's just like, calm down.
You're the one that was going hard on what's his name. Okay. Well, I guess we did it.
We did do it.
Whether people wanted us to do it or not, we did do it.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we'll be talking about The Social Dilemma on Netflix. Tig, before we go, should we read some true fan mail?
Sure.
So this is from Lois L. Hey, Lois L. Hey.
Hey, Lois L. Hey. I'm out of the swing of things.
That was the worst one yet.
I don't even know if that was the worst.
Just saw a young dude at Costco in Tallahassee, Cheryl. Aw, those are my peeps. Wearing a sweatshirt saying professional raw dogger.
No way.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Glad I know what it means, or maybe wish I didn't. I'll see him at the STD clinic. Love you both so much. I listen after 12-hour shifts in emergency department, and I laugh and laugh. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. God. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thanks for your hard work, faithfulness each week, and overall hilarity. Much love, Lois. Oh, my God. Wait, what did it say? Professional raw dogger. Ew, that is so...
People are so weird.
Hey, Tallahassee. Hey. Okay. This is from Amelia G. Hey, Amelia G.
Hey, Amelia G. Hey.
Dear Tig and Cheryl, too, if you want. Oh, why is that? Why am I in parentheses? Okay. I'm writing because I listened to your episode about the Donut King, and I want to tell Tig there is a delicious vegan donut shop in Buffalo called Fry Baby, and they have the best vegan apple fritters I've ever had.
Oh.
The best apple fritters in the world. Completely vegan. Sincerely, Amelia.
Wow, Amelia, thank you.
Amelia, I'm glad to know that too.
Thank you, a million bucks.
What? A million bucks. Nope.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Okay, thank you, a million bucks.
Ah, see, it's fun.
It is fun.
Before we go, Cheryl, I also want to mention that my other podcast, Don't Ask Tig, is nominated for a Webby Award. And so if any of you listeners are so inclined, which you should be, you can go to webbyawards.com and vote.
All right, Tig.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again.
Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kopacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.